God established Jesus as the messianic king on earth, and he appointed him to rule over all creation. Jesus' ancestors, like David, had also served God as kings. But Jesus was able to fill this role in ways that far surpassed every king that had gone before him. What makes Jesus the ideal ruler over the kingdom of God?
The book of Revelation talks about Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the king, the Davidic king. And so that language reveals a couple of things. One of the things is it shows that Jesus not only reveals who God is, but he also reveals true humanness, the full nature of what it means to be a human being. And so in his role in the New Testament, as the Son of David, the Son of God language actually, oftentimes, most often, refers to his role as the Davidic king, the Messiah. And in that sense, he represents a historic people. In the case of the book of Revelation, it's the people of God spread throughout all the nations, and he is our king, our representative to the Father or the suzerain. So he is our king in history, in time, a full human being who represents his people to the Father. And of course, also, he represents God to us. But that doesn't diminish the fact that he's fully human as well and represents us to God.
One of the great titles of the New Testament that's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is Lord. The title Lord comes from the Greek kurios. Some who do not want to affirm the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and see this title as reflecting the fact that he is the Lord try to say that, kurios can be used of kings and earthly rulers, and thus this doesn't at all prove that Christ is the Lord. Now, no doubt kurios has that range of meaning. Every word has a range of meaning, and it's then important to set those words in their context in the scripture. And when we do that, there are some instances where kurios, Christ, can be addressed as Lord, probably by the crowd, not in the full deity sense. Yet, when we have the affirmations repeatedly in the New Testament, where he takes on the very name of the Lord, kurios, from the Old Testament, which picks up the covenant name of God from the Old Testament Israel, particularly you think of, say, Philippians 2, where he goes to the cross, he humbles himself even to death on the cross. The Father is the one who then exalts him by resurrection, then gives him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue confess, and that name that is given to him is Lord. Kurios. That comes right out of Isaiah 45, where that name is applied to Jehovah or Yahweh from the Old Testament, and that now comes over into its application to Christ, where you have a clear affirmation that the New Testament is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing less than the one who takes on the very identity, role, aims of the Lord of the Old Testament. In fact, we can see this change from lordship, Lord, the name Lord from the Old Testament applied to Christ many, many different places. The book of Hebrews does it repeatedly. Paul's letters do it. In fact, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of Christ as one who has the very identity of God of the Old Testament. So that it's not enough just to say, oh, this is just a human title. No. In the New Testament, it was referring to the unique fact that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed the Lord, speaking of his God equalness with the Father and with the Spirit, which then we understand in terms of Trinitarian relations.
In Matthew's Gospel, we find a great emphasis on the kingdom of heaven. Matthew begins his Gospel with the lineage of Jesus, with the intent of showing that Jesus is the rightful heir, the Davidic king. This Davidic king is Jesus of Nazareth. the rightful king, when Jesus is born, is working in a carpenter shop in Nazareth. And Matthew makes this case about the kingdom of heaven. His audience, his original audience, was primarily a Jewish audience, we believe. And this book is to say to the people, here's your rightful king. He places a lot of emphasis on that, but he goes beyond that. He goes beyond the great Davidic king who is to come. Matthew goes much farther, and he emphasizes the kingdom of heaven in its concrete manifestation as he demonstrates in this gospel that this term kingdom of heaven refers to Christ's rule over all people and all spheres. It is a question of authority, and we see this theme running along in the Gospel of Matthew with the theme of the kingdom authority. Now, the people were amazed, he said, because Jesus taught them as one who had authority. The Pharisees and the Sadducees always asked Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? The gospel ends with the words Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And this kingdom idea is much more than the nationalistic Davidic king that the people had come to expect and to look for. This is the statement that Matthew makes, that Christ is king over every square inch of creation.